So as most of you are beginning to realize more and more, I am doing my best to be led by the Lord, sermon or no sermon, just to be led by the Lord in things. There's times when you're worshiping that you feel, or I know there's been a few times for me personally, I had some pain. I remember, some of you remember some of those. So I've had a pain and I just felt like the Lord spoke to my heart in the morning before I came to church that I want to heal you in church. And I just had this expectation that there's just going to be a time where I can ask for prayer and I can have expectation. And the Lord did that. And the Lord does heal us in those times. So there's times when you may be in the middle of worship and you're feeling the Lord tugging on your heart and he's saying something like that to you. And I want to make sure that I'm careful in listening to the Holy Spirit as he's prompting somebody for something he's going to do. You know, I think a lot of us are thrown on a loop because we wonder how come it hasn't happened yet. And I know I say the delay is not denial, and that still for many people still feels like, well, then what am I supposed to do with that? If I'm in a delay, but I'm not being denied, what's the delay? Why is the delay? And so some people feel like, why isn't it happening now? What is the reason for this? And we're looking for more answers. And I don't necessarily know that I can give you one, but I can say this is, if you'll do one thing, and that is that you'll keep your heart open to what God wants to do in your life, you will discover it in its right time. And you may say, for some of us, we may say, well, it was kind of past due, but you still got it anyway. And you still have to believe. And you still have to let God do it. And there's times when I think what we're trying to do is push God. Just hear that. We're trying to push God to do something. You feel strongly that it's something that he ought to do or that he's going to do. You just feel like, I need to believe for this. I don't want to let go. I don't want to get in a place of unbelief. And you're worried that, you know, what it might be if you don't. And what happens is a lot of people try and push by praying harder, praying more, and all those things. And really, Jesus wasn't that hard to access. And he never has been and he never will be. He's not the kind of God that requires us most of the time to pray hard to get to where we need to be or get what we need to have. Jesus gave us promises, and I think those promises need to just stand out to you. When he said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will he give good things to those that ask? There's another verse that says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Now, if you capture that, it says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you shall find. Does that sound complicated? It doesn't sound complicated at all. It sounds like it's at our fingertips. It's right there. We have a few other verses in the Bible that teach us very carefully. Don't be in the way of asking for things that are not God's will. But be very sensitive to the Lord's Spirit. And here's what I felt like the Lord gave to me this morning. Before I get started on this sermon, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart this definition for faith. Faith is the soul, is your spirit's liveliness toward God's spirit. Faith is how alive our spirit is to the Spirit of God. A lot of people feel like they're believing, and that's the part that they're missing. They're not connected to God, but they're trying to believe in their disconnect to God. And they're having such a hard time, such a difficult time trying to get close to the Lord. And really, if they would seek the Lord, they would actually find. It's to seek him, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be established. He's talking about the needs of life. So do we just bring it back to its bare course, and that is a relationship to the Creator that gave you life. And we're going to be in different places in life. All of us are going to have our valleys, and we're going to have our mountains. We're going to have our day one, where Lazarus is in the grave. We're going to have our day two, where he's still in the grave. We have our day three, where he's still in the grave. And you have been tested in your relationship with God, not just your faith. I'm beginning to realize more and more, and this is just me just speaking, this is, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm just going to do it. It is, I think that people actually believe their faith is their salvation. They think, as long as I believe, the fact that I believe, I'm saved. And they believe that for many other things. And essentially, this is the thing, your salvation is Jesus. Your salvation is what God is doing in your life. That's your salvation. But He wants you to believe so that you can create an open door for Him to be there. And imagine how simple that is. When it really gets down to it, that's as simple as it gets. It's like you don't have to climb the mountain. You don't have to move the mountain. You don't have to make the thing happen. The supernatural power of God is going to be there to do His work. But what you do need to do is believe Him that what He said He can do, He will do. I love this. There's those verses that stand out to me when Jesus said, "What is impossible for man is possible with God." I think about that. If you really put that in other terms, this is how I would say that. It's like saying that when it ties the hands of man, when it becomes impossible for flesh and blood, it unties the hands of God. The moment it ties your hands, it unties His hands. And you just need to know that He's able to do it. You need to be able to believe that. And in our world that we're living in, this is a world full of censoriousness, unbelief, skepticism, criticism. I mean, any of you that have been on the internet, you don't know if you're shopping online, you don't know if you can trustfully buy that thing on online and not be scammed. And you certainly don't try, even though it all looks perfect. How many scams are out there that look like it's truly authentic? And we're all in that scam world right now, in a scam culture that is trying to teach us to do that. And I love what one of our speakers at men's camp, he said, is that we don't believe in faith healing, we believe in divine healing. We believe faith is how we touch the divine. We believe we touch God, but we believe God does the healing. Our faith doesn't do the healing. Our faith doesn't do the saving. Our faith is what accesses us to God, opens the door. Now imagine that if people are like, "I'm by faith making this happen." No, you're not. God is doing it. So I want to share with you this message kind of in headline to that thought. And the title to the message is, and I was going to share this with you last week. I knew this was from the Lord. I guess it just wasn't for last week. You need your suddenly. You need your suddenly. Can I say that one more time? You need your suddenly. I'm going to say that to me. James, you need your suddenly. You need that suddenly. There is a need for it in life. Jesus made some promises. I want you to go to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read through verses 4 and 5. This pretty much talks about the promise that Jesus gave to His disciples, which He referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll find that here. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Are you there? Amen. You're like, "Well, I'm looking at it, Pastor." I still want you to look in your Bibles. Make sure you know where it's at. And then I want you to mark it down if it's not, because this is really important. "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Can you capture that right now? Wait for the promise of the Father. You know, Jesus was giving them an absolute promise, but it's amazing that He said you're going to wait for it. You need it right now. You need it like you never thought you needed it, but you're still going to wait for that promise. There's a reason why. Let's continue on. "Which He said, 'You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I want to just capture that word baptism. Baptize. If you look it up in the original, it means, I'm not going to probably quite say it quite right, baptizo. Baptizo. In the original, it means to dip repetitively. Man, I need to do baptisms differently. I need to just keep doing this thing. We'll let you live, but we're going to let you think you might be dying. it's to dip repetitively. I love that thought, that we're being immersed or baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're being repetitively dipped in or continually baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people get this idea that baptism is a one-time thing, just like salvation, and it is the farthest thing from it. If you'll notice in the Bible over and over again, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. It means the Holy Spirit has access to your life. He has you as a vessel. God has you as a vessel that he can work through, demonstrate himself through. So it also means to immerse. That means to completely, or to submerge. It means to completely bring underwater. That's why we do that with water baptism. We put people completely underwater. Now, we've heard of sprinkling or, you know, some other kind of a dip or something like that. But in this sense, because that's the meaning of the word, we actually submerge people. We don't drown them, just to let you know. We don't do that. So far, we've had some good baptisms, and nobody's got drowned yet. Although sometimes I like, well, there's a better way to do this, so it's easier for me to help you, right? And you know what? Another definition for the word baptizo is to overwhelm. To overwhelm. I believe if we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, we're being baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are being overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. For anybody who's had that, they're going to say, that has definitely been my experiences. I have been overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit on my life. Overwhelmed. I remember a youth pastor once said to me, he said, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason he said that was because he recognized there was such a dynamic transformation in my life. And one of those things that made me so different, and this was when I was still a teenager. How many of you know teenagers can get saved? Hallelujah. And they can be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. What's interesting is he knew that for the most part I was saved or I was a Christian young man, but I was still very timid and shy, and I was still very much to myself and very much an introvert. But it was powerful because I remember, and I can't say it was just like it was just one powerful experience. It was like this continual experience of the Spirit of God in my life. But I wanted to talk to everybody about Jesus. It was so easy, so refreshing. And he knew the way that I was talking, it's like a new kid was in front of him. And I was overwhelmed with the presence of God. My first time of really feeling, and I'd had times where I spoke and shared a testimony in front of an audience. And it was the worst thing in my life. Nothing more scary than standing in front of people looking at you. What are you going to say? And knowing you don't have anything to say. Not sure what you're going to say. And I remember having come from our trip in Mexico. And that was awesome. Because when I was in Mexico, see, this is the difference. The Holy Spirit enables you to speak under the inspiration of God. And you know the difference. When you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that inspiration just gets a hold of you. And I remember we had an interpreter. And how awkward that is to speak in English, somebody speak in Spanish, wait for them to speak in Spanish so you can say the next thing you want to say in English. And I was so excited and wanted to share it. And I shared my testimony about how things were in my home and how I'd been pushed out of my house, rejected from my mom and my dad. And I remember while I was there, after the testimony, there was a Mexican guy that came up to me and he says, I'm going through that right now. I'm going through that right now. See, God wants to say things through our life that the person you're saying it to knows you don't know what you're really talking about, in a sense. They know you don't know about their life like you're talking like you know their life. Not that we don't actually know like what the Lord is doing in us. I remember there was another time. This is the inspiration and the power of God's Spirit on your life. We were in the church. This was back in Walla Walla, and there was a man. Some of you may have heard this before, but I just think it's worth noting. Here he was, him and his girlfriend. I guess girlfriend came to the back. They sat in the back of the church. And I felt strangely that day that I needed to talk about. It was not in the sermon context. It was not the plan. But I felt the need to say something about the need to, if you've stolen or done anything hurtful to another person, that you need to repent over it, and you need to confess and make restitution with them. And I don't remember much else about the sermon. I just remember that was the heart of, or at least a heart of what I was saying, and then I probably went back to preaching whatever it was. After that, there was one of the gentlemen in the church. He came to me afterwards, and he said, you know that couple that came in the back? He said, they came and they stole my car. The guy stole my car, and he came here specifically to see me and to apologize for what he had done and try and get things right with the brother that was in the church. I had no idea that I was speaking to him. I have to still to this day wonder. I wonder what they were thinking. Like, what is this preacher? We don't know this guy from Adam, and he's speaking the message of our life. And I'm so thrilled because God chose me that day. He could have spoken through anybody at any point, but it was just the power that he chose me that day. So I think that's a part of being submerged and overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, because that's overwhelming. That's overwhelming to the person who's experiencing it. Water baptism is an immersion in water. Spirit baptism is an immersion in the Holy Spirit. And I think that the Bible speaks well of it. You'll see times in the Bible it'll talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But you'll also read about times where it actually talks about the Spirit of God coming upon them. Or in Luke chapter 24 where it says they'll be clothed with the Holy Spirit. And I think that helps us make some distinction between salvation being filled with the Holy Spirit and baptism of being filled with the Holy Spirit in another way. In the Assemblies of God, we just call it a second work of grace. It's still a part of our salvation. A lot of people think of salvation as that I got saved and that means I'm ready to go to heaven and I'm good to go. But salvation ultimately is everything God does in your life from the moment you were born again to the day you die. That's salvation. It is the fact that he's working miracles in your life. He's speaking through your life. He's given you gifts in your life. He's demonstrating himself through things. I don't get to play guitar or sing very well. I love to sing to the Lord. But I see the Lord put those gifts on other people's life. I have seen the Lord do it in such a miraculous form that they literally had nobody teach them. And in a month or two, they're playing like a professional. And I'm like, how did that happen? God did it. And he chose somebody who never thought they were qualified for it. So just hear me today. Many of you are going to look at me and say, Pastor, I'm just not qualified for this or that or that. Just name it. Just put fill in the blank for yourself. And I can tell you, God can do anything. He can take and do with you what you could never dream of for yourself. So this means endued with. When we talk about being immersed in, it means being endued with or clothed with. And that's Luke 24, verses 48 and 49. I'll read those verses here. And it says, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now I love this because Jesus told them, this is what's to be expected. When you get this, you're going to be endued with power from on high. Endued with power. Why is Jesus giving them power? Because we're talking about, now listen to me, we're not talking about guilty souls only. Guilty of sin. Yes, that's true. Infinitely guilty of sin. But we're talking about dead souls. And what I mean by that is souls that are separated in union with God. They don't know the Lord, and they're living life outside of knowing God. So they're actually dead in the eyes of God because there's no spiritual life in them. And what Jesus is saying is, you can't do this in your normal strength. You need an anointing. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that actually is going to give them life. You need that power on you to be able to do the ministry. Because a lot of what we've done, and we're guilty of this a lot in America, is we let technology take the place of what only God can do. What only God can do. And so when the Holy Spirit shows up, you may have no technology. Your sound system may be going on the fritz. You may have all kinds of things that are problematic, but yet you have the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's the one that comes with power and changes hearts. These last few weeks, Some of the altar calls and times that I've seen the people coming and the ministry that the Lord has done to souls are things that I know I couldn't do. The eye-opening revelation God is giving to people who are opening their hearts to Him and just letting the Lord speak to their heart. I mean, Robbie's a great example of that. And we'll keep bringing him up because we love to see new souls saved in the kingdom of God. And here he is. And I remember, like we said, I'm speaking under the inspiration of the Lord. I know that it's him in the back. And I said, there's somebody that needs to surrender their life to the Lord. And he doesn't do it that day. But I know God's power. And then he shares later that week, after that Sunday, even though the Lord gave him a very specific message to him, and he said he knew it was him. I asked him, I said, did you know that that was you? And he said, yes, I did. But he still didn't respond to the Lord that day. And he went out to the woods, as he shared, and he took his revolver with him. And the Lord gave him what he needed to open his eyes. That next Sunday, he came into church, and before anybody asked or gave an invitation, he said, I'm giving my life to Jesus. And we've had nothing but joy to see from that young man because of. How did I do that? That's called an anointing. That's the Holy Spirit in his power. And there's an endowment because there's things that we're saying under the inspiration of God, and we feel the power of God, but they feel the power of God. There's more to come. Number four, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then this is my definition, because I feel like sometimes we're like, how do you define that? And I won't say this is the perfect definition, but it's as good as I'm going to come to for today. It is distinct but not necessarily separate from salvation, or that salvation moment where you give your life to Jesus, surrender your heart to Him, and He regenerates you. By that I mean it can happen at the same time in a person when a person is being born again, but not necessarily. That is why you will often see both at the same time in the Bible. You'll see somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit and being genuinely converted or born again in the Bible at the same exact time. That is perhaps the reason when people read that in the Bible, they're like, well, it happened at the exact same time. That's the reason why some people think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that salvation experience are the same thing. Salvation opens the door to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and requires that we be filled with the Holy Spirit to bring us out of spiritual death into spiritual life. In other words, you're going to have to, in order to be saved, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a saving sense. In order for your soul to come out of darkness, in order for you to have a now new relationship with God, that has to happen in salvation. So in one sense, when somebody says, you know, when we're talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, they might say, but are you meaning that unless we're baptized, we're not saved? And I would say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're two very important things, and it's the same Spirit doing both of them in your life. And we open our heart up to both. The salvation is, for us, ultimately what we're saying is salvation is when I come out of darkness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is empowering you to help other people come out of darkness. And so the doorway to helping other people or receiving that baptism is so that your soul is delivered from darkness. That's why it doesn't happen necessarily at the exact same time, but can oftentimes. That's why when you read about the disciples, Jesus actually spoke over his disciples, and it says that the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that was before this time in the book of Acts. Now, I can say there's a lot of things that we may not be able to figure out, but one of the things I would say is this. Regardless if you feel like it fits the whole thing, it's an obvious need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered for his work in our life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us power and anointing to bring others into that life. In other words, the purpose of salvation is to save you, and the purpose of being immersed in the Holy Spirit is to save others. If salvation is essential for eternal life, then the Holy Spirit baptism is essential for the work of the ministry. And because you are the extension of the ministry of Jesus, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to touch other lives. For the factor of having the discernment factor alone. I can't tell you how many people you have in front of you, and it's just like what they're saying, it's like there's just, I'm hearing this, but there's something else. And the Lord has seemed to help me see that and capture that. And that's the point that helps them get to the next place where the Lord has them. But it's only the Holy Spirit helping you see that kind of thing. And I can say, to some degree, being saved Or having salvation opens you up to that to some degree, but not to the same degree as being filled with the Holy Spirit or immersed in the Holy Spirit. Many people are afraid or skeptical of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and here are some of the reasons why. These are the reasons most notable to me. And one is this, because they think it is something that it is not. If you read in Acts chapter 2, if you'll just look there, I want you to look in verse 13. Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Many people are skeptical of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and here are some of the reasons why. It's because they think it is something that it is not. Chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, others mocking said they are full of new wine. Others mocking say they are full of new wine. So it's because they think that it's something that it's not. They think that this is a joke, they're full of new wine. But interestingly, they're seeing a miracle in front of them, and it says some of them. So there was a great part of the crowd that believed that this was an amazing miracle. Here these guys are speaking, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they are emboldened to leave the upper room and go into the crowd. And now they're speaking boldly what they were afraid to speak before. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak. And then not only that, but then there was an added miracle. And this was the added miracle to that moment. And that was they were speaking in the languages of the people that were there. And there were multiple nations and nationalities and languages present. And they said, we hear them speaking in our own tongue or in our own language the wonderful works of God. We hear them speaking. These guys don't know those languages, and they're speaking them, and they're telling us in our language the wonderful works of God. Again, what we're doing is we're emphasizing that the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this was one aspect of it. It wasn't the whole thing. And people really miss the mark when they think this is what is to only be expected. So in their sense, some of them were looking at that. They were saying they're just speaking. They're speaking in languages, but they're doing it while they're drunk. I don't know about you, but I've seen some drunk people talking, but they're speaking weird things, but they're certainly not speaking in edifying language. It's like Spanish or German or Rome, whatever. Like, it's just not going to be. So that's the reality, and it's strange because what you'll see is even though the power of the Holy Spirit is there, people are resisting what God is doing. And so just because you're filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you won't meet with resistance. There will be resistance to come. But the resistance will be an offense against God, not just an offense against you. So some think of it as, and I think this is true of many people, they think it is speaking in tongues or speaking in other languages. They think that is the baptism. And if you would say to me, I would say it's an evidence of baptism for some, for many, whatever, but I will not say this, that it is the baptism in itself. It was an aspect of the baptism. How do you know that? Because if it was the only thing there was, they wouldn't have had the same boldness. They wouldn't have the power. They wouldn't have spoken under the inspiration. There was more than just speaking in tongues in the moment. Here's a number two reason why people struggle with or are skeptical about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's because they don't believe what God has said over what they have seen. There's a lot of stuff going out there. In the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, in the name of God. And what I can say is this. You can have the authentic and you cannot have the authentic, and you'll see the same thing. There's problems out there. I mean, terrible problems with the way people are handling, if they actually have a gift of God on their life, if it's a demonic thing or whatever. But that should never divert us from the real thing. What is the real thing for us? So because they don't believe what God has said over what they've seen. In other words, go back to your Bible and read what it says. And then ask yourself, is it for you? Not, did I see it on television? Or did I see it in church? Or did I see it with my friend? But regardless of what I'm seeing there or what I've found there, what does it say here? And if you're finding that there's a lot of, like there's a huge gap of, this is what it says here, this is what they're doing, go back to what God said. Just believe what he said and let him speak to you personally, but never close the doors to it. If I were to say this, there's a lot of scams out there trying to help you get rich fast. And they're offering you not only millions of dollars, but billions of dollars if you'll just put your name on the list or you'll sign up on the internet. And you find out that not only did you sign up on the internet to get billions of dollars, but they took everything out of your account. You'd be like, well, that's a scam and a half. And then right after that, the next day, somebody else says almost the exact same thing. It sounds just as promising, sounds just as real, but you had been betrayed by the last one. But this one's real. This one's not joking. This one is absolutely for real. Because you've been scammed by one doesn't mean you're being scammed by God. And that's the struggle of our culture and our world around us, is we feel like we're constantly being, somebody's given us a line. And I think that was probably one of the difficulties for me when I was opening my heart, is what is this thing for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for my life? Number three, why are people skeptical? It's because they sought after it and they didn't receive it. If you read in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Here's one of the things I would say. The Holy Spirit, what he wants to do in our life is exclusive to what God wants to do through our life. It's not exclusive to what you want him to do through your life. Do you know the difference of what I'm talking about? Like, Lord, I need joy in my life. So I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can have joy. And you're seeking him in that mindset, and you're wondering, why is it not happening? And that's the reason why. Some of you might say, Pastor, that's me, man. That is me, very much so. I have asked for this, I have prayed for this, but I've wanted it for other reasons. I have never really wanted to be bold in the work of the Lord and really wanted the Holy Spirit to use me in helping bring salvation to others. So I wanted it for me. I wanted it for my happiness and for my edification. And it does edify you. The Lord blesses you with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, but it's not just for you, and that's not his purpose ultimately behind it. Notice Jesus says, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. That's what Jesus was calling for. He's like, you guys are going to have to travel. You're going to have to send this gospel everywhere. And so much so that the world is going to recognize you guys are the men that have turned the world upside down. Just 12 men turned the world upside down. You went from one nation to the next, went all around the world preaching the gospel. So much so Paul was stoned to death for having preached it. So that should be the driving force behind the person who says, I want this. I want this. I don't want the scam. I don't want anything else but the fullness of God in my life. So, Lord, how do I get that? And what is the motive by which I receive it? And I would say, don't want it for yourself. Enjoy the benefits and the blessings that come with it. But remember, it's the personality of the Holy Spirit. It's the personality of God that's ministering to you. And it's God himself baptizing you for his work and for what he's called you to do. Many people would say, I don't want to evangelize or share the gospel. And I would say, then there's a good chance that you don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many people are confused with what the speaking in tongues part has to do with the baptism. You have to bring it up because people are like, it was connected. When you read here in Acts chapter 2, and let's go back there here just shortly. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all those who were there, they were all with one accord in one place. They were waiting, just like Jesus said. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So that's one thing that came on that day. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. To me, other languages is no different than it was for me to find somebody in the background and I'm speaking about something in their life, but I don't know them. I don't know what they're going through, but God does, and he's just using me as a vessel for that. Well, same thing was happening here. It was just they needed to know in their language what God was saying to them. But there's a lot of confusion wrapped around it, and I can say there's a lot of things I can't quite doctrinally tell you one way or the other, but this is a few things. And here's one question I would expect somebody to ask. Does everyone have to speak in tongues or languages? Does everyone have to? And here's my thing that I've come to this realization of. Whether you feel like everybody should have that gift in their life, or you say, I see a few verses that say, no, not so much, this is what I would say. None of us know which one we are or are not. If you put it in that category, you say, either we're all supposed to have it or we're all given the option for it, or you say, I don't know if I'm one of the ones that God's chosen to give that gift to. Where does that land for every single one of us? I'll tell you where it lands. It lands on the place that you need God to say no to you for you to say no to it. All of us need an open heart. We need to say, Lord, I want to have an open heart for you to do it in my life. Because what I've realized is this. Some people have been mightily impacted by what the Holy Spirit has done in their life, but that hasn't happened to them. But I've watched people say, I've been open to it. I've been open to it for a long time. And I would say, wonderful. Let's just stop there and just stay open to what God wants to do in your life. Never refuse God an opportunity to do something in your life. Wonderful. And here's the other thing. People are confused about it because they're like, okay, so if you're speaking in another tongue, are you speaking in gibberish? Because that's probably what it's going to sound like to you because you don't know the language, right? You don't know it. So for us to open our heart up to speak something that's a language we don't know is going to be complicated to some degree. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle. It was for me. I remember for me personally, when I wasn't even awake when it happened. I was asleep in my bed. And I was and the only reason I found out was because there was another guy in the room with me. And he said this. He said, do you know last night you were speaking in tongues in another language? And I said, I was. Next night, did the same thing. And he said, you did it again the next night. It was only because somebody else was awake at the time that it was happening that I knew that it was happening. But to me, after that, it was like, I don't know if I can be open to this because it seems so foreign and strange to me in some way. Some people just feel so touched by God that it just happens to them automatically. And others, it's a little bit more of a process to get them to get over the mind blocks of what's this going to feel like. And here's one of the things, one of the testimonies has blessed my heart. You guys know, I know somebody, let's just say that. I know somebody, you guys know somebody. This is the story as it goes. I won't say names or anything else, I just want to share the story with you, because I think it's phenomenal. Her husband was, he was seeking the blessing of the Holy Spirit on his life, and this tongues thing came up, and she was trying to help him, begin to speak in this language. And it's like, if you feel like God has given you, and I think that's really important, if you feel like God has given you something, even though you don't understand it, just speak it out. And he did, and he thought it was the most ridiculous thing. And he said, I don't believe this. I don't believe it at all. And the funny thing is, I guess, she had studied and learned French in her life, and he was speaking perfect French. But he didn't know it. He thought it was the biggest joke of his life because to him, French sounded gibberish. And so a lot of people think that when we're speaking in tongues, we're just speaking gibberish to God. You're speaking in some language. You just don't know what language that is. And that's the power of that, is that God could do that in their life. Now, am I saying everybody should have it? I'm saying everybody should be in a place to say, I don't know if I'm the one who shouldn't or should, let it be for me, Lord, if you want it for me. We should sit on that ground. Just say, Lord, for me, if that's for me. Because there are going to be obstacles. And we're going to say, you know, the Lord has to work through those issues of your heart for you to receive it if it's for you. Right? Now, some people would say, but Pastor, that's really eliminating, you know, the blessing of. And I would like to say this. God has blessings that are meant for everybody, like salvation. They're meant for all of us. Not everyone gets it, though. It's intended for us. I'd like to be the guy who says, Lord, at your Christmas tree, make sure there's not a gift that you have for me that doesn't get unwrapped. I just want what you have for my life. And that means I'm radical enough to believe things that don't make sense to me in the moment for you to do that. And then lastly, second question is, tongues are only, or are they only known languages? I can't give you an absolute answer for that because Paul talks about tongues of angels, tongues of men. We know they were speaking in languages known to the people then. I can't tell you for sure. What I can say is it seems to point to that there are known languages in the world, you just don't know them, and that God can miraculously give somebody else the interpretation to that, meaning that they're understanding what you're saying in that other language. But that's just it's a miracle of God. And if we were talking about anything else. So I don't know exactly, but I'm going to say that that's what a question people will have is, are they always known languages? I can say if they are or not, you're still in the same complexity, and I'll tell you why. Because you don't know what language you're speaking in. You can be speaking in French and have no idea that you're speaking in French, right? You may know a few words in French, but the ones God's having you speak are not the ones you know. So essentially, I would say, just keep yourself open to what the Lord is doing. You haven't trusted him to, you've never worried about God misleading you, have you yet? Has anybody ever worried that God was going to mislead them? So when you open yourself up to what God's going to do, that's going to be the bigger issue. It's not about whether I tell you how to do it or not, just if you have an open heart to what God has. Lastly, third question, how am I supposed to receive it if it is for me? How am I supposed to receive it if it is for me? And you know what's really unique about it? Everybody has a different story. Everybody. It's never the same for any one person. It's uniquely different. Now, for them, it was like they were all in the same upper room, but they're all speaking in different languages, or the ones who were, right? So here we see this is, how am I supposed to receive it if it is for me? Basically, this is the one thing. Have you received one thing that you know, I received that from God? How did you receive it? You received it by asking, and you received it by believing. And you received it by having your heart open to what God has for you. And so I would say, if you're in that place, you say, I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit on my life. And if he wants to give me the gift of speaking in tongues, or he wants to help me with prophecy, or whatever he wants to do, I want to be that person. You might even say, man, I love what that pastor is doing up at the pulpit, and I want to be able to preach, right? I want to be able to do what God is doing through. You'd be surprised, but you'll be blessed at the same time. So we have to remember what we're really asking for, and when we're praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life, what we're really praying for is to be a vessel that's fitted for his use and not our own. We're a vessel that's not self-willed and bound by what I want to do, but what God wants to do through me. That's what you're really asking for the Holy Spirit to have full control. If you're doing that, you're on right ground. If you're just saying, I want to speak in tongues, or I want to have different languages, I'd say that's missing the mark completely. But if you're saying, I want the fullness of the Spirit in my life and the power of that, and any and every gift that comes with it, I'm raising my hand, here am I, Lord, just bless me. Even if other people are saying no, I'm not going to say no. Why do you need your suddenly? So it says, suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them. Suddenly, let's just go back there. In chapter 1, chapter 2 in Acts, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Every one of us need our suddenly. I'll tell you one of the reasons why you need your suddenly. You need your suddenly because Jesus promised it. Because Jesus promised it. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Because Jesus promised it. He promised it with as much emphasis as he did salvation. I don't think there's one person in here that would say, I don't need the salvation of my soul, the hope of eternal life, and knowing God in this life. I don't need that. I absolutely do not need that. But when we come to this baptism of the Holy Spirit, some would actually struggle there. They're like, I'm not sure that I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just need salvation. Salvation was a miracle. So is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And why do we need it? Because not only did Jesus promise it, but he knew why it was so important, more than we know why it's so important. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. This is the second reason why you need your suddenly. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Notice what he said. You shall receive power. Not tongues. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this is the reason why you need your suddenly. Because it empowers you to witness and minister to others. How many of you got loved ones that you know that they are not where God wants them to be right now? Right? That's why you need your suddenly. If for no other reason but that, you need to suddenly. How many of you said, I've already talked to them, I've tried to share with them, but it just hasn't come through? That's why we need our suddenly, because it will not come through without the power of the Holy Spirit on our life. Now, there's going to be times where you have the Holy Spirit, it hasn't come through yet, but it's coming through. It's going to get there. God's going to get them where he needs them to be, but we need that power on our life. So a lot of us need to realize it's not just, you know, a gift coming on. It's the power to be able to minister. How many don't want that? I mean, that's the reality. How many do not want the power to be able to minister to others in the world that we're living in? I want, like I said, our friend Amber, I want to see that miracle. I want to see that miracle. And I don't believe that I have to personally have the oil in hand and I have to put the oil on her. I don't believe that I have to pray over her physically in order for her to have that miracle. But I believe there's something special about when God just wants to hide us in the prayer closet and he wants to reveal his secrets to us. And you've been praying, and you've been praying under the light of God, and the Holy Spirit has been ministering. So this is the difference. When God is going to do something, he tells you he's going to do it. He lets you know he's going to do it. And so many of us are praying in a faith that doesn't know, but we're talking about a faith that knows. And God is like speaking to us and saying, I'm going to do it. And at first, I think oftentimes God moves on our heart and we feel the impression. I feel strongly that the Lord is going to do it. But I haven't had my Jesus moment where I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is going to happen. But there's just times when God leaves you without a shadow of a doubt it's going to happen. And no obstacle that can discourage you. And you can have a thousand of them in front of you. And I think that's part of the miracle. You want to see the devil and his resistance. You're going to see it at the moment. In the moment when a miracle is about ready to happen. When God's about ready to come in. The devil knows the timing in a sense. And this is that miracle moment. And you know that you know with all the resistance that hell can throw at you. You know that God's going to do it. And it's a powerful time to be in the presence of God. And that's where faith just God empowers us with faith because we've heard him speak to our hearts. So in a sense, if you can say, I feel like I am anointed and I'm doing good in what God's called me to do, awesome, right? But I could say this, if you're one of those who say, I don't have that, I know I don't have that, I can say this, if you're good without it, imagine what you would be with it, right? The disciples weren't all that bad without it. I mean, they weren't great, for sure, but they were amazing with it, and that's the difference of God being in our life in that fashion. And I just love it because I think of it like this. If you ask me, Pastor, what are you saying to us? What are you saying to us? And I would say this, where every one of us are in the place of the next discovery God has for us. None of us are on the platform of perfection. None of us are in the place where we've climaxed our Christian life. So we're all basically saying, Lord, what's the next thing you have for me? And maybe there's somebody here, maybe there's plenty of us say, I think that one's for me today. I mean, I may not get it today, but it's for me. I think that one's for me. And I want to encourage you to that. I want to encourage you to that end because you don't know until you receive it what you are missing, until you have it. And if you're like, I'm grateful for where I'm at, I'm thankful that you're grateful. Every one of us should be. We don't deny what God's done in our life up to this point. We're just looking for, while we're praising him for what he's done, we're looking forward to what he has more in store. And why? Because this is about his glory. I would like to say this. I'm open to the Lord ministering. If the Lord ministers to 5 souls today, I would love to have him minister to 15 different souls, however he wants to. It's the anointing that captures people. It's not me. It's not us. It's the anointing. The book of Acts is the last reason why you should, that you need your suddenly. The book of Acts, the whole book is why. I was like, I can't find a verse. I find a book that tells us why we need our suddenly. It's because you need it to preach the gospel. They needed it in their time. We also need it in the end time. If they needed it in their time, we need it in the end time. That is absolutely for sure. And so when I'm saying, I think I need another baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I think God can do more through my life just because he wants to than what's happened already. And so I'm anticipating right alongside any and every one of you that God's ready to do more through our life. And it's just wonderful that, and I was thinking about this, that, you know, when we talk about a miracle, we prayed over Pastor John, and I will not tell it more than what they tell me. Pastor John said that the arthritis that was in his arm has been 60% better than it was before. Now, he's got other ailments in his body, but if you remember, I felt the Lord speaking to my heart that Pastor John was to have a miracle and a blessing, and we prayed over him like we believed. And then he shares with me what God does, right? I didn't do it, God did. Mary's another one that was sharing with us last week that she's had pain-free in that arm after we prayed for her. And she had 3 weeks without it prior to that. Had the pain come back and we prayed again. What I'm saying is this, is if God's already doing that with the anointing and the blessing of the baptism that he's placed on my life and on our life, because I don't think it's just me, I think it's the faith of the church, how much more is he going to do if we just get closer to him? A fresh baptism on each one of us. And so I think Willow County needs it more than we realize. And so if I want to do anything, I want to encourage. I want to encourage like I never have. Those of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can say that has definitely been my experience. I just want to encourage you to come for more. And those of you who say that's not been my experience, I want to encourage you for it. To come and receive what the Lord has for you. And I can say it may happen here at this altar. It may happen in your room. It may be that you're out there walking in the forest asking God. I can't tell you when your time frame is, but I can tell you if you seek and you seek with all your heart and you anticipate Jesus to give you exactly what he promised, you will find it. I can say that much. You can and you will find it. He's not a God that disappoints on any level. And I want you to know what it's like. Man, there is no blessing. No blessing that it exceeds the one in my own life to have had the Holy Spirit outpoured over my life, to have that immersion on my life that said more than any other preacher in my life. I am more and more convinced and confirmed that if each individual doesn't get what God has for them, there's no way this ministry can make up the difference. There's no way. People come to receive what God has for them here. That's what it's all about. So I want to give an open invitation to those of you who are here to just receive from the Lord. Open your heart up to it. Some of you, I think I've answered your questions or I've come close to. And I hope that that helps you. Because there's been a lot of confusion along the way. And all I can say is this, just open your heart to what God has. If he doesn't want you to have it, he's not going to deceive you. He's not going to do that. He's never done that part. But if it's something for you, then receive it. So I want to give one other distinction before, as we're closing, I want to do this. If there's anybody in our congregation right now, anybody here with us, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, when I talk about salvation, I'm not talking about, do you feel like you believe in God? I'm talking about, has you felt life inside of your soul that's made you know him? And that now you know for yourself, nobody had to tell you, you know that you are forgiven for the sins of your past, for the things that have brought you into darkness, and you know it. You know it, and nobody needs to tell you. You know it because you're saved. That's what we're talking about. If that hasn't been you, I would hate that we dismissed this service and didn't give you an opportunity to open your heart up to Jesus. The same way for that baptism. Would you ask the Lord to come into your life? If that's you today, I want to open this altar for you. So the altar is just what's up front. There's a place to kneel here. You can come and sit in a seat if you're in that place. I don't care if you're young or old. I just want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge that. And that's what the Lord told us to do. He said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. But God's the one doing the saving. He's the one to bring you into that. If there's anybody here, I'd like to give you an opportunity. And the second one, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on your life, you haven't had that, or you're not sure, you're struggling with, you're not sure exactly where you've had some powerful movements of God in your life, but you're not sure you've had it, or you're like, I'm opening my heart for the first time to that gift of tongues in my life of to be able to speak in a foreign language so that God can show himself through me in that way or any other thing. I want to give you an opportunity to receive that. So if you would, Isaac, if you'll just play the music lightly in the background, I'm going to be praying up here and just asking for those of you who are responding. Please respond to the Lord. You don't